These smells are always in the air immediately above the ground, as you can test for yourself by sticking your nose into your lawn and breathing deeply. When a rainstorm approaches and the humidity climbs, the odor rises up from its earthly embrace and you say, "It smells like rain." This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Eric Sonstrom with help from Marty Crouch. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. I'm Don Glass.
Support comes from 40 North 88 West, presenting the 7th Annual Boneyard Arts Festival, April 16th through 19th, a celebration of music, dance, arts, culture, and theater. This year's hotspots, April 16th, downtown Champaign, April 17th, campus, April 18th, downtown Urbana, and April 19th, surrounding communities. Learn more at 40north.org.
It's 2:41 in sports. The Chicago Cubs open a four-game series against the St. Louis Cardinals at Wrigley Field today. That game is underway in the bottom of the fourth. The Cards lead the Cubs 3-1. The Chicago White Sox are in Florida tonight to take on the Tampa Bay Rays in the first game of a four-game set. Chicago has lost five in a row, including postseason matchups at St. Petersburg. The Calgary Flames suffered through a miserable 0-43 skid to end the regular season. Tonight, they'll try to break out of that stretch of futility when they open their first-round series against the Chicago Blackhawks. And John Madden is calling it quits. NBC said today the burly ex-coach, who has been one of pro football's top broadcast analysts, has decided to retire. The 73-year-old Madden has been working for the past three seasons on NBC's Sunday night NFL game. His last telecast was the Super Bowl between Arizona and Pittsburgh. Since he left coaching back in 1979, the former Oakland Raiders coach has worked as an analyst for all four broadcast networks, and his Madden NFL Football is the top-selling sports video game of all time. That's sports. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. WILL General Manager Mark Leonard is alongside me today in the studio. He's here helping us get some listeners to join us as friends of WILL. This is our spring membership campaign, and it's off to a very nice start.
It is off to a nice start. There's something about a nice sunny day out that helps also. It's nice to have the two going hand in hand. Coming out of winter in Central Illinois is kind of painful at times. You have a nice day, and then suddenly you get that cold weather again, mm-hmm. and you're back to winter. But I think we're on the uphill side.
Yep, I think
spring
so.
Is here, and what better way to celebrate the arrival of spring than to become a supporter of your public radio station, because you're going to take us with you probably all summer long. You're coming out of your house, you're crawling out of your hole. You'll have us in your car. You'll have us perhaps on a portable radio. You'll have us on an iPod player if you download our programming, which more and more people are doing, listening to all of the podcasts of Afternoon Magazine and Focus 580 and all of the other great shows on WILL. We are many, many places these days. We're using technology to make it so convenient for you to hear our programs, to watch our programs, and to access content, whether it's entertainment or agricultural or news. But all of that does have a cost,
mm-hmm.
and that is why we're here. We're adapting with the times, but one thing remains the same, that your membership support is what makes public broadcasting and WILL possible. And that's been true for years. In fact, it's become even more important in recent times.
That's just what I was going to say. That's something else that's changed, as we rely more and more on our listeners for their support. And all of us coming together and, you know, making a little contribution here and there, doing what we can, whether it's a little or a lot, the effort together gets us to the goal, and it keeps the programs that we count on the air, whether it be Morning Edition, Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, All Things Considered, The World in between The Afternoon Magazine and All Things Considered, and Fresh Air is back in the evenings on AM 580. So, if you haven't yet done it, now is the time. No press, no time like the present, right? 333, no, that's the number to call in with a comment on the program. The number to call with a contribution, with a pledge of support, is 244-9455, 244-WILL. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can also join us online. Mark mentioned our internet services. Now, all you need to do to make a pledge online is go to willpledge.org. And maybe what we could do here is we're going to have a little bit more of the afternoon magazine, and then we'll check back with Mark. And maybe what we could do here before we hit 3 o'clock is we can have an update, and maybe we could thank some folks who have been kind enough to call us or to pledge online. So very good. Well, it's 2:46. This is the Afternoon Magazine. If you think this is an era of scaled-down expectations, you may want to visit the ballpark of the West Michigan Whitecaps. It's a minor league baseball team that sold more than 100 mega-sized burgers on opening night. The monster is called the Fifth Third Burger. It's made with, I can't believe this, 5 patties plus chili, American cheese, nacho cheese, tortilla chips, salsa, lettuce, tomato, and sour cream, all piled high. It weighs more than 4 pounds, and some fans took on the entire burger by themselves. Michigan Radio's Dustin Dwyer reports.
The Fifth Third Burger gets its name, of course, because it is 5 one-third-pound patties of beef. But we're also standing in Fifth Third Ballpark, which is named after Fifth Third Bank, based in Cincinnati. Now, Fifth Third is a bank that has had some severe financial losses because of the downturn in the housing market. It bet big on houses in Michigan and in Florida, where there have been a lot of foreclosures. And Fifth Third has gotten $3.4 billion from the federal government to stay afloat. So this burger, the Fifth Third Burger, could also be called the bailout burger.
It hurts. It hurts.
That's Ray Bowes. I talked to him just after he finished an entire Fifth Third Burger on his own. It's the caloric equivalent of 9 Big Macs. 9. Bowes started eating before the first pitch, and he didn't finish that last excruciating bite until the 9th inning.
But I'm glad I did it, and I'll never do it again.
Bowes was one of more than a dozen people who ate the entire burger on opening night. The burger has become the star of the West Michigan Whitecaps operation. It's gotten worldwide attention. Mickey Graham is head of marketing for the Whitecaps.
It's been a whirlwind for us, for media, for an organization like us that has to scrap and claw to get our name out there. It's been crazy to get all this international attention.
Graham says the Whitecaps have a history of offering some oddball menu items at their concession stands, giant turkey legs and fried Twinkies, to name a few. The massive Fifth Third Burger comes at a time when Americans are being told it's time to scale back to smaller vehicles, smaller mortgage payments, smaller meals, and smaller expectations. This is a burger that's so big it has to be served in a pizza box with an open top. And people love it.
You turn on the news and everything, and some people don't like what they're hearing, but people still want to talk about fun things that are happening in life. And so I think that's one of the reasons why this has caught on.
The Fifth Third Burger is also not just about excessive consumption. The Whitecaps are marketing the burger as a family meal. It comes sliced into 4 pieces. For $20, it's a relatively cheap dinner at the ballpark. Marnie Jostenburns bought a burger to share with her nephews Noah and Nate Junker.
This was Nate's big thing. They talked about this in current events class, the Fifth Third Burger.
Really? They talked about this at school?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on the news and my teacher, Mr. Bussies, and so I'm like, as soon as my Aunt Marnie came over, I'm like, we have to get the burger.
What did your teacher tell you about the burger? How's this a current event?
He just said it was huge and it was like 4 pounds, so it was pretty cool. I'm just glad to eat it. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, you're covered in it now.
Yes, it's very messy.
So you can see the Fifth Third Burger as a symbol of American excess, or you can see it as just a fun time at the ballpark. But it's certainly uniquely American, and the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression can't stop that. For NPR News, I'm Dustin Dwyer at Fifth Third Ballpark in Comstock Park, Michigan.
That's quite a burger, isn't it? I'm not up to that at all. This is the Afternoon Magazine. It's 2:50 Central Time. After publishing 29 books, a Quad Cities author has decided to take a risk and write something very different. Since the 1980s, Kim Bush from East Moline has written women's fiction or romance novels. But her newest book, The Virgin Queen's Daughter, is the first of what she hopes will be many historical novels. Herb Trix reports.
When she started, Bush wanted to write historical novels, but in the 1980s, that genre was not selling well, so she tried her hand at women's fiction. Using the pen names of Kimberly Cates and Kimberly Caitlin, she published such titles as The Raider's Bride and The Perfect Match. But now the success of Philippa Gregory's book, The Other Boleyn Girl, has opened the door again for historical novels.
When my agent approached me and said, "Write, I think you'd be good at this, write a historical novel," my first instinct was to write about Charles II because I've always had a fascination with him. They did a detailed synopsis of a trilogy set during his reign. And then at the end, I did a paragraph. I also have this idea for a book called The Virgin Queen's Daughter. And when my agent and an editor at Crown read the proposals, they loved the idea with Charles, but the one they really wanted to see was Virgin Queen's Daughter, because Elizabethan Tudor history right now is very hot.
So now her pen name is Ella March Chase, and she's written about Queen Elizabeth I and what might have happened if that well-known monarch had had a daughter. She thinks the Renaissance is fascinating because it was a time of so many changes, including the first opportunities for women to get educated.
I just kept thinking of Elizabeth Tudor and the fact that she was so intelligent, such a scholar, and yet in some ways so limited by the fact that she was a woman. During this time, there was even serious scholarly debate as to whether or not women had souls. So I kept thinking, what must it be like for an intelligent woman to be living in a time where even that is questioned? And how do you find outlets for your intelligence, your creativity, and all these things?
Women's relationships have always intrigued her, and that's probably why she was able to publish her first 29 books. But this one is very different. She had to do a lot more research and take more risks.
Because what you do as an author, then, is you research biographical material, everything you can get on a historical character. And then you try to figure out what they're thinking, what they were feeling. So, yeah, I do think you stick your neck out in that way. And all you can do as an author is make the most accurate guess that you can. In the more kind of romance women's fiction, it's more about the relationship. And those are just kind of almost stage settings, you know, setting the scene. But in the historicals, people really want to know what it was like when you walked through the galleries at Hampton Court and so on. And there are people who really do know what that would have been like. So, you know, that you have to be a lot more accurate. So I would say that's harder.
The Virgin Queen's Daughter in hardcover was published at the beginning of the year and is due out in paperback in December. As for her next project, Bush says it will be another historical novel, also from that era.
Right now I have a proposal in with my editor, and she's looking that over, and it hasn't sold yet, but hopefully it's a story of three sisters during the time of Tudor England who really did exist.
Author Kim Bush from East Moline, but you may know her better as Kimberly Cates, Kimberly Caitlin, or now as Ella March Chase. I'm Herb Trix.
You're tuned to the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. 5 minutes before 3 o'clock. Coming up at 3 today, it's The World from PRI. On the program today, Marta Gomez believes her music can change people's lives. The Colombian singer takes on humanitarian causes, and she puts her money where her song is. Songwriter Marta Gomez, that story in the day's global news coming up on The World this afternoon here at 3. My name is Celeste Quinn, and Mark Leonard is with me in the studio this afternoon. He's the general manager of WILL. I am the host of The Afternoon Magazine, and we're here today to ask you to support the programs that you value here on this radio station. Put your money where your song is, right?
your song or your guest or whatever reason you've chosen to listen
in.
Or your ag report. We have all of that. We have many things for many people, and we're just asking you to take a moment of your time and to call us and let us know if we're helping to meet your needs today. 244-9455 is the number to call to pledge your support. We don't tell you how much to give. We just ask that you take a moment and think about how much enjoyment WILL brings to you throughout the year, and then what you're able to afford.
Mm-hmm.
Only you know that, and we always say don't give more than you can afford, but also don't give less than you can afford. If you are in a position to give us a leadership gift, that's great. Some of the leadership level supporters of WILL are very much appreciated, and they're a very loyal and supportive group. But this is a radio station for everyone. Everyone who can listen to its signal. You are a consumer of us, and we hope that you'll now become a supporter of us.
Yeah, every gift makes a difference. So whether it's a dollar a week or it's a dollar a day or more, do what you can do. You are the one who makes the decision. Then you call us or go online and you make your gift and we say thank you. And it is listeners who keep us going here on this public radio station.
And our goal is $200,000. We are just about to crack through the $50,000 level, and that's symbolic. That is a wonderful mm-hmm. milestone. Because when you start out, I mean, I think it's like an exercise program. You know, you're supposed to run 5 miles, and 5 miles is insurmountable. So you start out with smaller increments, and that's what we do with our membership drives. We break them down into increments, and we look to stay on pace toward the overall goal. So cresting $50,000 is a big deal. We got off to a great start with the Power Hour yesterday, and now we're looking for the listeners to our other day parts and our other programs to pitch in and help also. We're many things to many people. You happen to be listening right now, so you're the only person that we can appeal to. Hopefully, you'll support the show, and later on this afternoon, another audience member will come on board, and they'll do their part,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm. One at a time, right?
One at a time.
Okay, and it is only through the generosity of you, our listeners, that we are able to bring you